So now that we are here, boys, now that we are on the topic, I am accepting apologies open and with love. So if you want to spill your heart out to yours truly and say I was fucking wrong about Rodrigo being better than Saka, I would love to hear it.
To the Six Hour Bucks podcast, we're tuning in for episode 91 of the program, where two-thirds of this table are through to the Champions League semifinals. The other just lost 4-1 to Newcastle. We'll get onto that later in the pod, but there's more important things to talk about today. I am here joined by Blake,
hello,
Antoine, and the vibes could not be higher at this table. I'm going to go around first, and then we're diving straight into UCL action. We're talking about quarterfinal action. We're previewing the semis. We're doing all of that. Prem as well. But that's not important. Blake, first of all, my brother, how are you feeling?
Wow. Well, first of all, what an intro.
What an intro.
Like, no. What an intro from you two. All right. I sense the energy. Okay. I grasped it.
Yeah.
And then I projected.
I love it.
Go ahead.
I'm feeling fantastic. I'm feeling amazing. I'm feeling on cloud nine. The bird is soaring higher than it's ever been. I feel great. I feel fantastic. Just what a game. What a win. All this talk from Real Madrid after the first leg, talking about a remontada, talking about the Bernabeu and 90 minutes, a long ass time. Yeah, it's such long ass time for us to be fucking your bitch asses to Timbuktu.
We're starting straight.
Bro, okay. Because there was a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk from the Real Madrid fans, and I get it. They have the pedigree. They have the Champions League wins, the 15 Champions League wins, but they didn't have it against Arsenal, and that is what mattered.
They didn't have anything close to what Arsenal brought. Not even close.
Nope.
And you know what? We're going to get right onto that just to start off with this podcast. But first, Antoine, your team is through to the semis as well against Arsenal.
Arsenal.
What are your feelings right now?
It's mixed emotions right now. Obviously, very, very happy that we're through to the semifinals, and it's normal that we're through to the semifinals. I think after the first leg, we should have gone through to the semifinals. Very scared during the game, and we'll get onto it later. I was shitting my pants, but now we're through, and we have Arsenal. One of the hardest teams to beat this season. So
you seem very calm, cool, and collected. Very jobs not finished.
I'm jobs not finished right now, but deep down I'm shitting my pants.
Yeah. Okay. That's valid. That is valid. I thought you guys looked fantastic. I personally still never had any doubt that you're going to go through, even when Villa were starting to mount that comeback. We're going to get to it when we get to it, I believe. Also, later on the program, everybody, we're talking about some latest Premier League action, including
that's
United.
When you can click off.
Honestly, like
literally,
it's okay.
I didn't watch any Prem. Like last Sunday, I couldn't even catch the United game. Me and Blake were working, but
yeah.
I just hear. I look at my phone. I get the FOTMob notification. I show it to Blake. What sound did I get? There you go. let's talk about Arsenal. Let's keep the vibes high here, Blake. Arsenal on aggregate 5-1 winners over Real Madrid, not only spanking them at home, which you have not been here since that happened.
I haven't.
Even spanking them at the Bernabeu after all that hype about remontada this, remontada that, and it didn't happen. Rice cooked better with the lid on.
I love that narrative. I love that narrative. And like, there's so many players to give flowers to. And I could be here forever doing it, because it was just such an amazing experience watching that team. And I texted you guys before the game. Like, I was listening to The Angel, North London Forever, on the car ride back to my house to watch the game. And I was getting emotional because, like, I've watched this team lose 4-1 to Chelsea in the Europa League final. I've watched them lose to Olympiacos in the quarterfinals of the Europa League. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been loss after loss after loss in these big European competitions. And like, to see where we've come, to see the performance that was on the pitch, to see like just the togetherness of the team and the fans to beat one of the biggest teams in Europe, the defending Champions League champions. It was sensational. I don't know where we want to go, like specifically
just
what narrative.
Who's been talking shit? What gripes do you have?
Oh,
what,
I have,
just brag.
I have a
just
gripe, brag. And I don't want to go to it yet. I want to really milk it. You know, I want to milk as much as I can. I want to get all the juices out before we get really into it. I'm gonna start with Jakub Kiwior, who I think is the unsung hero.
Odd place to start.
No, but he's the unsung hero of this tie, because when Gabriel went out, my thought process and my feelings towards the game didn't change. But it's just like, I was like, here we go again. Another big player that's out for us. It's been the story the whole season, and it's why we haven't been as close as we should have been to Liverpool in the Premier League. But Kiwior comes in after not playing that much this season, and he looks like he hasn't missed a step. He's been positionally sound. He's locked up supposedly the best attack in all of the world. And he looks like he belongs. He's calm on the ball. He arguably played better than Saliba in the second leg. And it's just like an amazing thing to see that it's just a testament to the mentality of this squad that Mikel Arteta has made. This mentality is like, it's a winning mentality. Everyone wants to win. Everyone is ready to win, no matter when they're called upon. And it is, it's so good to see.
Look, if you look at the sentiment that was surrounding Arsenal 3 weeks ago when you draw to Everton and Gabriel gets injured,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's been lower this season.
Mm-hmm.
Going into this Real Madrid tie, I'm not sure an Arsenal fan really truly believed in their hearts that they would be able to surpass them, yes, given the injuries that they had, and especially with Gabriel they're injured.
Yep.
The fact that Kiwior has transcended his game into something that for a backup center back we genuinely probably have rarely seen before,
yeah,
is nuts.
Yeah.
It's outstanding. The way that in such a short amount of time, the amount of respect he's been getting over these two legs, insane.
Yeah,
insane.
It's fantastic.
And I want you to keep going with these flowers. I think we need to spend a good amount of time giving a lot of these players flowers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's players that deserve recognition in this team.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking continue, dude, because there's so many players that we need to talk about.
Yep. Where should I go next?
Talk about MLS.
Oh my God.
Miles, bro. Shout out Miles, my co-host, but shout out Miles Lewis Skelly, bro.
My God.
Like, he has the mentality of, like, I don't know, maybe God. Like, I don't understand. Like, there isn't someone with a stronger mentality.
Bro.
He's so brave. So brave. And that is, like, the biggest compliment I have to him. He's brave. He doesn't care what's in front of him. He doesn't care who's defending him. He knows how good he is at being a ball carrying,
bro. His left back. Ball carries into the midfield.
Yes, bro.
Oh,
the composure you need for
the
that.
The composure you have.
Oh,
before
God.
The game, he's listening to music, smiling, laughing. Being at the Bernabeu doesn't faze him one bit. I was talking about this last pod. The last left back that we've seen with this type of mentality, mm-hmm, is David Alaba. And look at the career he got on to have.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Lewis-Skelly is generational. We seriously have a new contender of the Golden Boy, and he seriously can win it. Seriously can win it.
The way he
carries the ball into the midfield, you can tell his natural position as a midfielder.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's doing this at left back, wow. Seriously, wow.
Genuinely. I mean, if Yamal didn't exist, but still.
No, but you can't win the Golden Boy twice.
I did not know that.
Oh, Val, I didn't know that either.
So,
bet.
So, who else would there
be? Doué. Gubarsi.
Fair. Doué actually might win it.
I think Doué's on the.
Yeah. Like, and we'll get to Doué. We'll get to Doué.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, my goodness.
He's immense.
The revelation of the season.
And he reminds me of Valverde, in a sense, when Valverde plays that right back. Because Valverde is so strong, and we saw it a little bit in the second leg. He's just such a strong runner and ball carrier. And when he gets going, it's like, it's majestic to watch. And
true.
I think obviously they're different players, but Miles Lewis-Skelly kind of has that same thing. He gets going when he makes the body faint and gets around his man, like, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And he just creates so much space for the rest of the team. And like, this whole false left back thing is, I know we've like shit on it before, but when you have a player like that doing it, oh my God. It's beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
It's beautiful to watch.
So is Calfiore injured?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, he
can go back to Italy. He can chill in Italy.
He
can go to his grandparents' house, go on vacation, dude. No.
Yeah.
And look, Calfiore has a place in this team. We need depth, and he's a different type of player. Definitely has a more of a goal scoring knack, I would say. But he's like more of a center back than he is a left back, right? True. So it's true. Yeah, but Miles Lewis-Skelly, man. Jury and Timber.
That's the guy. I thought. In every match recap that I've watched after both legs, I've seen maybe one praise on Jurrien Timber.
He's so good.
He might be, apart from Rice, the best player over the two legs for Arsenal.
So good. And you guys, you United people wanted him. You almost signed him, but he chose the other side of the red in England. And look what happened, bro. He's balling out on a Champions League stage against the Galacticos. Not the Galacticos, but you know what I'm saying.
Galacticos 2.0.
Second Galacticos, that's what this was.
I mean, against a second Galacticos.
Ironically, Galacticos didn't win the championship.
Locking up the supposed Ballon d'Or favorite.
Yeah.
No, he's not no Ballon d'Or favorite when he's up against Jurrien Timber because he's so defensively sound. He knows where to be. He puts the tackles in. He's fucking immense, bro. This back line is crazy. Yeah.
Bro, the way he just manipulated Vinicius to go wherever he wanted. Mm-hmm. At any time of the pitch, this guy went to the Bernabeu, dropped his business card, says, "Thank you very much, Vinicius. I saw what you were doing to Kimmich." He said, "I saw what you were doing to Kimmich against Bayern last year, putting him on his ass, not me." This guy seriously manipulated Vinicius Jr. in every way possible. Vinicius Jr., who, by the way, said that he would up his game by 10 times after not winning the Ballon d'Or.
We're going to get into the receipts. I kept them.
His performances have been insane. Insane over the two legs.
Yeah.
I think it's fitting that the next player we go into is Declan.
Mm-hmm.
Declan Rice.
You can go ahead, bro.
Declan Rice against Arsenal, watching Declan Rice against Real Madrid, I was laughing in front of the TV. When have you seen a midfielder put up a performance like Declan Rice over two legs like this against a team with the stature of Real Madrid in the Champions League? When was the last time you seen that?
Facts.
Back to back, as he said. Back to back.
We're saying top three midfielder in the world.
Right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He enters that conversation for sure.
Declan Rice.
He enters that conversation
for sure.
Bellingham, Pedri, him.
Well, Vitinha's up there.
I think Bellingham fell out after.
No, yeah, Bellingham we have to talk about too later because he's lying to all of us. but... Vitinha, Pedri, Rice, sure. I'll give that. 2 9 out of 10 performances from Declan Rice.
Give him 10.
You can give him 10, bro. My God.
It's crazy.
I'm laughing in front of the TV.
The balance of this midfield that we found has truly been a treat to watch because each player, it was really just moving Declan Rice up the field. In a mental sense, instead of him being the holding guy, he's the box to box. And that's what opened up his game because he's always had that ability, right? Mm-hmm. He's always been a very strong runner. Again, similar to Miles Lewis-Skelly, like a big ball carrier. He got moved up to the box to box position.
Yeah.
And look what happened.
What fucking happened. Because for West Ham, he wasn't playing that position.
No.
For West Ham, it was sitting right in front of the defense as a CDM and able to play that key pass whenever he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the way that Mikel Arteta transformed his game to being a box-to-box midfielder, where Partey's kind of the one doing the defensive work more.
It's amazing.
Shout out Partey. But it goes to show how good of a coach Mikel Arteta is to see the qualities that players like Declan Rice has in mm-hmm. that team and in that midfield.
Mm-hmm. And this is why, guys, you guys asked me many times, Arteta out. I've always stayed the same.
Have you? Were you ever Arteta out?
Well, in 2019 or whenever, like
2020,
sure. But ever since we've been good, you guys know I've never been Arteta out at all.
Yeah.
And this is why. Because I trusted the process and I just...
Process ain't over.
It ain't over. But at the end of the day, like, even if we lose to PSG, which is a genuine reality, I'll be heartbroken. We haven't made it to the semifinal since 2009. This is still a huge achievement with all the injuries we've had.
What was it, United against?
Yeah.
So it's not a successful season if we lose to PSG, but it's not one that doesn't give me hope in Arteta for the future.
100%. The talk, we'll get into two. I think we need to do two more shout-outs in this Arsenal team. We'll get into it later. But the talk, like you were saying, that Real Madrid were bringing before the game. I remember Jude Bellingham had an interview saying that remontada was the word that was most used in the dressing room.
Or a farming row.
The difference between previous years where Real Madrid actually came back from scores against City, against Chelsea, is that they actually played good football. They actually had promising football that didn't rely on individualities and that actually their game actually had an identity around it. This year, nothing suggested that they would come back against Arsenal.
Facts.
It's as simple as that. Ever since Kroos left, that team has not been the same.
He might have been the glue, bro. Like,
100%, he was the glue. The midfield is the biggest problem in Real Madrid, because when Dani Ceballos gets injured against Real Sociedad, that team isn't the same. Mm. The fact that you have to rely on Dani Ceballos this season to play good football is outrageous. Yeah. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
It's unforgivable. But Arsenal, a team that have been working on their project for 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Did the job against Real Madrid as they should. Nothing suggested that Real Madrid should have came back.
It was stars versus system. That's what it was. And no matter how many stars you have, I would still classify so many of these Real Madrid players as world-class talent, but you can't simply win with talent. You need a system. And fucking hell, you guys have
I was victim to that, by the way. I was victim to watching my team play like the start.
You would know firsthand.
Unbelievable. You have 10x the system as
well. Yeah, absolutely.
The difference now that we have with PSG from 2 years ago, even last year.
Yeah.
Last year we were relying on Mbappe. Feed Mbappe.
Yeah. And the same system makes stars.
It does make stars, absolutely.
It does. Yes.
Which
it's made Rice a star. It's obviously made Saka a star. One more shout out before Saka.
Okay, go.
Mikel Merino.
That
was my next name out of my mouth. The best false six I've ever seen.
Yeah, the best ball winning nine we've ever witnessed. Genuinely, is he not the signing of the season throughout all of life? Is he not the best signing?
All of life.
No. Is he not the signing of the 24-25 season?
I don't think so.
But Desiree Doué was signed this year.
Okay, João Neves was signed this year.
But in hindsight,
Kylian Mbappe might still be a better signing.
Just think about like...
No, I'm kind of...
Yeah,
no, that's... Like, we'll
he's too right, bro.
We'll get into it later. But I'm on his fucking train now. I'm driving the train.
I'm choo-chooing the train.
I'm letting the steam go. No, I'm on the train.
Way.
Goes, oh, I'm Mbappe.
Hear me out.
Yeah.
If we did not sign Mikel Merino, who would be playing striker for us?
Who would have stepped up?
Because the Martinelli-Trossard thing has not worked. I'm not saying it can't work in small... chunks for a long portion or over a big stretch of time, it doesn't work, and it's proven that, because we've tried that when Havertz has been out of form, or Jesus before we had Havertz, it hasn't worked. The fact that once again Mikel Arteta turned Merino into a nine and it's somehow working and we're somehow in a Champions League semifinal is a testament to his managerial ability, of course, but to Mikel Merino's ability to adapt and him as a player altogether, because we had conversations when he was struggling at the beginning of the season as a midfielder that it was not the best signing. I was on your side. I didn't see the vision. We didn't see the vision. Mm-hmm. He's found his role. He's not going to be a striker forever, but for this little chunk of time, what he's doing is, like, again, kind of unforeseen.
He'll be remembered.
Cult hero.
Yes, absolutely.
Everyone will remember this stint of Mikel Merino's career.
He just does the little things, like the little pass to Saka on his goal. His hold-up play is immense.
Yeah.
That's where you kind of notice the intelligence that some of these players have to adapt to these roles.
Yeah.
I think it might be a little easier that his natural position is a midfielder, so he kind of knows how to hold on to the ball and pass it back to the wingers or even the midfielders. Yeah. But man, to adapt to a position that is not your strong suit at all, it's incredible.
And I just want to say about the midfield overall that we can get into the big thing, but the midfield overall, 90% of the second balls were won by Arsenal. Mm-hmm. And that is the biggest turning point in that game. Mm. Because when Real Madrid were coming on hard, but when they were, and it was attack after attack, especially in the first 5 minutes of the game, and then the midfield just won the second battle after we cleared it, and then we moved up the pitch. It was that relief of pressure that allowed Arsenal to continue playing their game and not get suffocated by the speed and the horniness of that fucking Real Madrid attack. Because they were horned up to start the game.
They were.
But the midfield controlled the game. Even Martin Odegaard, who people said didn't have the best game after the first half, I thought he had a great game, honestly. But they did their thing. They won the battles. They controlled the game. And that's what allowed us to just simmer down. Simmer down all of those fans. Simmer down all that excitement from Real Madrid.
Yep. He killed the game
The fans fucking brought it. The Bernabeu was
rocking. I was nervous, bro. It felt like we were only up one.
That yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Like you forget that the score was 3-0 to the Arsenal. And like
yeah.
In hindsight, it's like, why did we ever think Real Madrid was going to come back? Bro, it's literally
anybody
just
that,
like...
Anybody that watched Real Madrid play this season would have known that they would never come back. In a million years.
This is embarrassing beyond any level we've seen. We had Vinicius and Rodrigo's tweets right before the game saying, like, tomorrow, see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
With, like, a little smirk emoji. What are you doing? We had Carlo Ancelotti's interview last week. Remember when the interviewer mentioned, you guys are known for coming back, and he hits the...
The stupid eyebrow.
He hits that stupid face. We had El Chiringuito, the Spanish TV station, have a countdown to Remontada for a week every day during programming. We had the Jude press conference talking about the biggest word that we've heard this week is Remontada, whatever. And then we had the Real Madrid social media tweeting out stuff like 90 minutes is a long time at the Bernabeu.
Oh my God.
They did a whole TikTok series through the week called like Unforgettable Nights, where it was just all the nights in the past couple of years where they've come back against City, against Bayern, against whatever. They did all of that, all that hype, and the fans fucking brought it. The hype was there. Everything was ready for the Real Madrid players to come out, dominate, be horned up, and come back against Arsenal. And they got three shots on target in 90 minutes. They spammed crosses, created nothing. And at the end of the game, it said they miss Hosolu.
I did see that. That's
fucking crazy, Hosolu. Bro. Thibaut Courtois was saying, yeah, we really miss Hosolu.
Like, bro, the thing that bothered me the most is that last week after the Arsenal game, in Carlo Ancelotti's interview, he says, we have a game plan. We know how to beat this Arsenal team. And we will play differently from the first leg.
Mm.
Motherfucker. What was different from the first leg? Tell me what was different from the first leg, apart from sending 43 fucking crosses
into the box. Into 5'10" Mbappe.
Give me a compilation right now. I need a compilation. I need someone to make a compilation of Real Madrid crosses that ended up on Arsenal players' heads. I need it right now.
That's exactly the game that Arsenal plays. You have Jakub Kivior, you have William Saliba, you have these guys in there that win so many headers mixed up with wingbacks that are tall and with so much strength, and that's the exact game they want to play. And obviously, credit to Arsenal's midfield and setup for forcing the ball out wide to force those crosses. Yeah. But man, from Real Madrid, bro, there's no identity, no fucking style of play, no accountability from anybody. They just thought, we're going to go through because we're Real Madrid. That's it. Not because of any individual, you know, not any quality that we have, just because, oh, we're Real Madrid, we're superstars, we're world class, we're going to get it done, believe us. Nothing was fucking going on. They just thought they were going to go out there or a farm for 90 minutes, rattle up the Arsenal players, and scam three goals.
It's unforgivable. It's unforgivable. I think it's on the coach, but also on the players. It's on the coach because even if the game plan is to send in crosses into the box, once it's not working after 5-6, you're telling me the players aren't thinking to themselves, maybe we should try something else?
Maybe we should
try 35 more crosses when the first 10 have not been successful? What the fuck are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Seriously, what are you doing? There should be that consciousness that tells them to try something different. To send the ball to Vinny, who maybe can trickle past one or two players, or give it to Mbappe, who can try the same thing. Try some long shots. Try something else. Why are you sending 40 crosses into the box?
Yeah.
Bring on a guy like Arda Güler or something who could like create
the
something.
The fact that Arda Güler gets zero minutes in two legs is stupid.
Come over.
It's stupid.
Arda should come.
I agree. Arda should change club.
Bring Arda to Arsenal.
Or obviously, Ancelotti is going to go. I saw that Ancelotti's leaving after the Copa del Rey final or something like that, which is stupid timing. It's stupid timing, in my opinion, because you would still have La Liga.
Why would you not finish?
That's what I'm saying.
That's so weird. That's
stupid. Yeah. But no, there should be that consciousness in the players to try something different.
Absolutely.
Even after Endrick came on, who's even shorter, they're still spamming like crosses.
Who are you crossing the ball to?
What the fuck are you doing?
Who are you crossing the ball to? 6'4" Mbappe? And it pisses me off even more that after the game, Courtois says, we miss Hosolu. What do you mean we miss Hosolu? You signed the best player in the world this summer. The best player in the world. And you're complaining that instead of him, you don't have Hosolu. Are you fucking serious? Are you serious? Oh my god.
Oh my god. What if this is generational from Antoine, bro?
I'm sorry. I cannot take it. I cannot take it.
That's so good.
That's really good. That's amazing.
Let's talk about the subs. I think they were made way too late in both legs. Mentioning that last week. I think it was even worse here. Yeah. By halftime, we're getting texts on the group chat from Antoine saying, make some fucking subs.
Yeah. You would have thought I'm a Real Madrid fan.
Honestly.
Yeah. You would have thought I'm a Real Madrid fan.
I wanted an entertaining game. I wanted them to make it close. I still wanted you guys to go through because I wanted that 6YB derby, which we'll get into later.
Yeah.
But, man, they're so frustrating, bro. If I was a Real Madrid fan, my head would be hot. Oh, my God.
Hot, bro. Hot. Yeah. I think we need to get into actually, Saka first, because we'll get into the Real Madrid players after.
Let's take it minute by minute. Event by event. Because I remember saying, like, I can't wait for an Arsenal goal in the first 10 minutes. And soon after that, you guys get a penalty. I'm like, oh my God. Because the VAR came through out of nowhere. And I was like, Real Madrid had just been on the attack. And I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Vardrid, here we go. Yeah. What are they going to look at? And it's a chance for Arsenal. The penalty was the penalty. Whatever.
That probably should be a penalty because he genuinely did obstruct his path to get to a cross.
Yeah, he held on.
He was never getting there. In my opinion, probably not a penalty, but it's a foul. Like, you can't, there's no denying that that's a foul. It's just never called, and it's not called in the Prem.
My issue is that if you're calling that one, you should then call the same situation the same way later.
The Mbappe one is totally different because the Mbappe one is Declan Rice just like puts his arm around him for a second or a couple seconds, doesn't tug him. Mbappe notices that he's being held by Rice and falls.
He kind of trips.
There was no,
he kind of trips himself.
Yeah, he stubs the ground.
There was no, like, obstruction of a path. Anyway, we're not doing penalties.
I don't think either are penalties. But it doesn't fucking matter at the end of the day. Because I guess ball don't lie. So, and Bukayo Saka, who, fantastic player. We've given him flowers and we'll give him more. Horrendous penalty.
That could have been, if on the back of that there's a remontada.
But who cares?
An all-time career
But who
moment.
Cares? Because I said as soon as he missed that penalty, first of all, I said it was over because I'm a pessimist. But then at halftime, did I not say, I'm not even mad at Saka? Everyone misses penalties. Vinny missed a penalty in the last fucking game. Yeah. Salah missed a big penalty in every game he's ever played in. Like, I feel like Salah misses penalties all the time. Mm. It happens, okay? It's okay. And then what happened?
What happened, Blake?
And then what happened? He misses the penalty, tries to chip it, doesn't go well. But my star boy... My fucking hero. He might be my hero. He might be my hero. My fucking hero. Set up Martin Odegaard to Mikel Merino. Through ball. Beats the offside to Saka. What does he do? He chips the fucking keeper. He makes amends for what he does. And then he does the classic Henry. So now that we are here, boys. Now that we are on the topic, I am accepting apologies open and with love. So if you want to spill your heart out to yours truly and say I was fucking wrong about Rodrigo being better than Saka, I would love to hear it. Because after two fucking legs, there has been one standout right winger, and it wasn't Rodrigo, and it certainly wasn't anyone else on that Real Madrid team. So please... The floor is yours, you two.
As I said before, my hands are up. My hands are up.
My hands are also up.
but now the ego is through the fucking roof.
Because
before this game,
oh God, you're so unbearable.
I've explained
you're
this last
so
week.
So unbearable. Oh my!
Because I literally,
God.
Me and Julian's friendship like almost ended over this debate. Like it didn't, but we almost killed each other over this debate. And it's just so good to be right, at least for now. Like no, forever, bro.
I explained this last week on the podcast. It's in these types of games where goods become greats, and it's in these types of games where these players can create something around their name, where we can actually have a conversation regarding them as the best wingers in the world. Before this game, don't get me wrong, Blake, Rodrigo was the better player, but it's in these types of games, in these types of confrontations, that these players show up, and these players don't show up in Rodrigo's case. Saka proved last week and yesterday that he is a big game player and that he ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, is a more impactful player than Rodrigo. Thanks. And I will admit that now.
Facts. These are legacy defining games where we really make these long term judgments. Mm-hmm. And unless some shit happens in the next couple of years, which I still expect it to, there's no way you could say right now, right this moment, after that tie, that Rodrigo is better than Saka. So I give it to you. Saka solidified top three right wing in the world. And
thank you, boys.
Thank you. I'm genuinely worried now. I was familiar with Saka's game. I wasn't that familiar with Saka's game.
Lads.
It might.
Second start, by the way, since coming back from injury. That was his second start.
Yeah. Oh, it didn't even start the weekend. Wow.
It might have been a little easier for him because he's playing against a washed Alaba at left back who's on a yellow card and can't really.
Nunmanj is going to be tough.
Nunmanj is going to be tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's.
But man.
We can go to PSG.
No. We still need to hit Madrid. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
We'll go to PSG. We'll go to PSG in a bit.
So we talked a little bit last week about what Real Madrid do now. Mm-hmm. I want your opinion on this too, Blake, but I think the consensus is Xabi Alonso, although I still have my skepticism about that.
I was going to say, I've been thinking about the Xabi Alonso to Madrid thing. Mm-hmm.
What's the skepticism around Alonso you were going to say?
The skepticism is that are these players, this is what he was putting forward last week, are these players fitting Xabi Alonso's style of play?
Absolutely not.
Can you rely on Mbappe to defend in a Xabi Alonso style of system? Can you rely? Look at how Bayer Leverkusen are playing this year and the past year. Look how Xabi Alonso converted them to be a full pressing team in 90 minutes. Everybody's running. You think Mbappe running for 7 kilometers a game is going to do that? Is going to defend for Real Madrid under Xabi Alonso?
And let me just interject and add to your point. I don't know if you guys saw this, but in La Liga, the top three least mm-hmm. covered area, the top three forwards or the top three players with the least covered area in the La Liga, out of the top like six or seven is Vinny, Rodrigo, and Mbappe.
Really?
I think Mbappe not defending, which by the way, we've seen it in PSG.
Yeah.
We've seen it for the French national team. He doesn't want to defend. There's a clip of Luis Enrique taking Mbappe alone, talking to him, being like, talking about making a comparison with Michael Jordan, why he was such a good player is because he was also so devoted to his defensive game. And that if Mbappe wanted to become that all-time great, he also needed to put in that defensive work. The fact that he's not doing that, I think in Vinny and Rodrigo's eyes, it also makes them subconsciously not defend. If Mbappe is not defending, I won't either.
Yeah.
Because they have such big egos that they'll be influenced by Mbappe, and since he's not defending, I won't defend either.
That's a good point. It's really well said.
For Xabi Alonso, is that can they play under Xabi Alonso? Straight up, can they play under Xabi Alonso? I don't think they can.
Let's go through what a Real Madrid team under Xabi Alonso would look like. So you'd have Courtois on net, you'd have three center backs, that being Rudiger, Militao. Asensio.
Also, fuck Rudiger. I actually hope he never plays football again. He's a fucking rat that tried to injure our players because he's a fucking crybaby that we fucking dummied his bitch ass team.
Go ahead. Wow.
Multiple time UCL champion you're talking about. Just playing the game. Anyways,
still a bitch.
Trent at right back.
Trent,
you'd assume.
Like yeah. Right. Okay.
Militao at third center back.
Militao. He'll be back. So Militao, back, Asensio, Rudiger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless he brings somebody in. But yeah. We assume Trent at right back.
Yeah.
Left back.
Fran. You're not playing Alaba there.
Fran Garcia.
Unless they make, I think this season.
They'd probably make a signing.
Yeah, I think Fran this Garcia. Season there's going to be a.
Because there's no, Alaba would not.
Florentino Perez is going to go crazy if Barcelona win the Champions probably, League. He's going to want.
Yeah, he's going to want. Yeah, he's going to.
You probably have Valverde and Tchouaméni.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the two. And then you have two tens kind of. I assume it'd be Vinny, Rodrigo, and then Mbappe in front of them. I don't know if that system works, to be honest. Because those players are, especially that front three, is demanding to play. Maybe Rodrigo is not. Oh, and I didn't even mention Bellingham. I didn't even mention Bellingham.
It's
where
weird.
Does he even fit in there?
I think Rodrigo leaves this summer.
Ooh.
I think he leaves this summer.
I think he gets relegated to the bench next year and then leaves summer of 26.
When's the last time Madrid have ever played a three back?
I don't know. I could not tell you.
Like, think of players like, I mean, even Modric, I know he's on the end of his career, but like they've never done that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it couldn't work, but it's like, that's such a big freaking shift.
Yeah.
It's such a different way to play.
And when it works, how it works with the Galacticos is like, you know, you drop, you know, three of your first seven games.
Mm-hmm.
the pressure is already on you. Stars get dissatisfied so fucking quickly. And before you even know it, pressure is on immensely on Xabi Alonso.
Right.
And we don't know how he deals with that. He's not really used to losing in his career. We don't know how the media will treat him, if there will be any patience whatsoever with these kinds of players. Is he going to have the patience and backing to play the Xabi Alonso system, which honestly may cost Real Madrid success next year? Or is it just going to be win now? And if it's just simply win now, which I wouldn't see why it wouldn't be that, then I don't know if Xabi Alonso is the best option. If Real Madrid were somewhat worse, they weren't Galacticos Real Madrid, I could see Xabi Alonso coming in, building something with the stars and the system to literally be the Real Madrid manager for the next decade.
Yeah.
But that's not the situation he's coming into. He's not going to be given that patience.
Yeah.
I could see, like, we could talk about Jurgen Klopp. We can talk about Allegri. I don't know who else we could talk about, but there's other names.
You could sell me
Simeone Inzaghi.
You could sell me on
the, I can be honest, you could sell me on a Klopp. Real Madrid thing.
Really, oh, you mean for Real Madrid? I thought you were talking about managers. Sorry, no. Simeone Inzaghi is staying in Inter. Also, I thought you were talking about managers who have like actually transformed a team.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was talking about.
You could, now that you brought that up, like Klopp might be the guy.
I think there's rumors. They're not concrete, but there's rumors. But the reality is, as you were talking about, have Real Madrid ever played a three-back? When was the last time? We've been transitioning from Zidane and Ancelotti for a decade now.
Yeah,
for a decade now, and those two managers, they don't play three backs. Yeah. The modern game has changed so much that now you almost need to play a three back like Xabi Alonso is playing, like Simone Inzaghi is playing, to really be successful.
And even if it's not, like, it's, if it's a four back, it's like the false. You want that extra space in midfield or whatever it is. Like, that's
If it's the four back, player. It's 4-3-3 with a false nine.
Yeah,
that's what Arsenal's doing. That's what PSG is doing.
Yeah,
Barcelona's not really doing that because Lewandowski's fucking insane.
You're right.
I don't think these players, for me, it's mainly the off the ball work that I'm having a lot of time, a lot of struggles thinking that it would work. I don't think Mbappe defends. I don't think anything you tell Mbappe, I don't think he does.
Well, genuinely, guys, like, I think that stat is, they brought it up on the CBS team. Mm-hmm. I think Thierry brought it up. I think I'm pretty sure it's in the Liga, but the top seven least covered runners, the people that run the least in a game. It's the three of their best players. And it's like, usually, TT said, usually it's like your best player because they're the attacker. Like, Lamine Yamal was up there. But it's not all three of them. It's not three of the players who play every game. That's three of 10 of your outfield players not tracking back as much as they should, not pressing as well
being
as
lazy,
they should.
Straight up.
That's what it is, being right? Lazy. That's crazy.
I saw a stat yesterday too. I don't know how real these numbers were because they sound outrageous to me, but Mbappe's average kilometers covered this season is 6.2. And for anyone listening that doesn't know like how much that is in terms of running for a player, that is fucking criminal. A goalkeeper on average usually gets that, like in terms of moving around his net, he usually gets to 6.2. I don't know if those numbers are real, but the reality is that yesterday Arsenal ran 9 kilometers more than Real Madrid in the entire game. That's an entire player. That's an entire player more.
Yeah.
There's a lack of running in this Real Madrid team that is emphasized through Mbappe, through Vini, through Rodrigo, that seriously needs to change because, again, Xabi Alonso cannot... I don't think you can convince these guys to do some defensive work. Straight up.
All I'm saying is Mbappe should have came to Arsenal.
Let me get on to that. Before we move on to other games, we need to talk about Mbappe. Because I think we're looking at, seriously, one of the worst career moves for a superstars of all time. Straight up.
I think it's quick to say that.
It is quick to say that. But for him, for his confidence, you look at this year where Real Madrid last year, they're champions. They won 2 Champions League within the past 2 years. Right? In 2022 and in 2024, they won.
Before the season, yeah.
They're not as hungry anymore. They don't really need Mbappe. They didn't really need Mbappe coming to this season.
They clearly didn't because they just won it.
Right? In 2021, where they lose against... Did they lose in the semifinals in 2021 when Chelsea wins it? They lose to Chelsea.
That sounds right, yeah. I think so.
They lost to City, I believe.
Something like that. Anyways, either way. In 2021, they're hungry for that Champions League. They need a Champions League. Yeah. It's been since 2018 where they haven't won one. And they need... That's when Mbappe should have joined. Now, you join a Real Madrid team who have won the Champions League within the past 3 years. They don't really need you. And when you join, you get eliminated in the quarterfinals. What's even more embarrassing for him is that the team that he left are playing 10 times better without him.
True.
And have a real chance of winning the Champions League without him this year. What does that say about Mbappe? Mm-hmm. What does that say in terms of his legacy? If PSG go on to win this Champions League, there's going to be the asterisk around Mbappe's career at all times where when he left PSG as a superstar, as the best player in the world, they went on to play better without him and they went on to win the Champions League.
It's a wonderfully said point.
What does that paint for his career?
It's a wonderfully said point.
That's true.
And maybe I'm being a little too harsh because Ronaldo, when he joined Real Madrid, I think it took him 5 years to win the Champions League. He joined
in 2009. Right, and there's still so much time.
But
you can't predict the future. You can't predict the future. Yeah.
It's a horrible move. It's a horrible move. And that's why I'm on your train now.
But I got off that train. Fuck.
No, he got off that train. Okay. Individually, he's playing well. I don't think there's a, apart from maybe Dembele, I don't think there's a better attacking player in the world. But that's individually. He makes the team around him play so bad. Fuck. So bad.
Yeah.
How much does Dembele run? That's a good comparison I'd like to see.
Well, this season, I think it's way more. Yeah. It's way more. The entire PSG team runs like dogs. Runs like dogs.
Yeah.
So what does that say for his career? It's
right.
It's so damning.
Do you want to go to your boys? Is it time to go to your boys? I feel like we've
Let's go to my dancing boys around.
I think last point on Mbappe. I think it's still a couple of years until we could really paint the fucking picture.
Yes, absolutely.
Did he make the right?
I'm just saying it would drastically hinder his legacy.
He should have went to Arsenal, guys. Like it's simple.
If PSG win the Champions League this year, it looks really bad.
Yeah, but absolutely. Even if they don't, like they already reached a higher level in the Champions League of Real Madrid.
Yeah.
If they reach the final, that's even worse on him. And if they fucking win it, man, fuck.
Yeah. Speaking of
your boys,
PSG 5, wow. Aston Villa 4. Wow, first, how worried were we there?
Shitting bricks. I will say.
Tell the story.
In layman's terms.
Okay, so I wasn't able to watch the second half, just the first half. So in the first half, we're up 2-0. Bird is flying, as Blake says.
Yeah.
And then Aston Villa score off a Pacho deflection where I saw my players.
Tough break on the lad.
I saw my players after that second goal kind of be a little too complacent.
Mm.
They were way too complacent after that second goal, thinking, yeah, we're in the semifinals now. Job is done, all this. When that first goal goes in, and I have to pause the stream to go to work, I'm worried. I'm worried. I'm worried. Even though we're 5-2 up,
yeah,
and they need 3 goals to tie it, I'm worried. When I come back, funny story, you can see like the stream length, right? The stream length is 3 fucking hours, right? And I'm paused on the 45-minute mark. I'm like, this game went to extra time and penalties, isn't it? I'm seriously worried. And this narrative is pushed and pushed and pushed. When Villa score their second goal, Villa score their third goal, I'm in shambles, lads. I am in shambles. I'm getting flashbacks from the remontada days. I'm seriously getting flashbacks because I saw a team that were way too complacent.
Mm.
Way too complacent. It's like we were already qualified up until the 60th minute where we actually start playing a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, at the end of the day, we are able to hang on.
Yeah.
And I think it's these types of performances where we, in previous years, we would have 100% gone out.
Right.
100% gone out.
Mm.
But this year, it's different. You have to have these games where you struggle,
yeah,
you play kind of bad, but you still overcome that and win. Prime example, Real Madrid in previous years. Yeah. I hate to always bring it back to them, but in previous years, they've played like shit. Let's be honest. Yeah. They played like shit and they've won the tournament. You need these types of performances to win trophies, to overcome adversity and build confidence within the squad. The attitude I saw from PSG players after the game, there's a video of Dembele fully refusing his man of the match.
That, yeah.
Fully refusing his man of the match award.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't happy with the result. Absolutely.
Says a lot.
I love that.
It's that bend, don't break, right? You bend, you give up the lead, like you make it tighter than it should be. But at the end of the day,
100%.
When it's all said and done, you got the job done, and that's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
100%. But yeah, all in all, there's a little bit of worry going into the semifinal, but I don't think it should ring alarm bells too fast. I think there's still we're still one of the best teams, if not the best team in 2025, bar Barca.
It's going to be a crazy matchup, dude. It's going to be a great, tie.
In terms of football, I was talking about this with my friend. I don't think we have a better Final Four. We haven't had a better Final Four in, dare I say, all time.
Like,
lads, we're looking at four of the best five teams in the semifinals of the Champions League. I'm excluding Liverpool. Well, Arsenal, PSG, Barcelona, Inter are four of the best five teams this season, and they're all in the Champions League semifinals, and they're all from four different leagues.
That's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. When have we last seen that?
Yeah.
Where four of the best five teams in the world are in the Champions League final.
And say your semifinals, point. Yeah, say your point that you said in the group chat about...
Oh, yeah, the narrative, if like...
I didn't want to steal it.
Took me a second. Yeah. The narrative, if all four teams winning... is amazing.
Like, there's for each
not,
of them.
There's for each of them. There's not one team winning it where we'd be like, oh, that's kind of anticlimactic. Mm. Real Madrid winning it last year, we're kind of like, oh.
It sucked.
PSG could have won it. Dortmund could have won it. Like, that
would have
been, amazing, and, right? Yeah, that would have been an amazing narrative. Real Madrid winning it before getting Kylian Mbappe. It's been like, oh, we don't get that at all with either of these teams. I'm cool with all four winning it. Little bit of bias against Arsenal sometimes, but that's... I'm sorry, I can't get rid of that, Blake. I'd be happy for you, but I can't
get rid of that. I'm hate watching tonight. Like, don't worry.
Yeah, okay.
Two of four teams have never won the Champions League.
I know.
There will be a team in the Champions League final that have never won the Champions League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
History is about to be made. For neutrals, this is the perfect scenario.
It is.
The perfect scenario.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't get much better than this.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot get much better than this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barca, you have like a couple of teenagers leading that team to glory. Inter Milan have had so much mediocrity over the past decade. We're not really used to seeing an Inter Milan team this good.
This consistent.
We'll talk more about it when we get to them. You have PSG looking amazing after losing their superstar. And you have Arsenal looking to complete the process. And if they do, that would be fucking historic, winning their first ever Champions League. It's amazing, dude.
Yeah.
One of you guys are going to the Champions League final. Let that sink in.
Stop, bro. I can't.
And you might kill each other before that happens.
I cannot think about it.
But
it's going to suck for whoever doesn't make it, bro.
I know.
It's going to suck so hard.
I will be heartbroken.
Oh, my God, Sam.
I think I'm crying regardless. If we win, I'm crying. If we lose, I'm crying.
Not same, bro.
I'm cooked.
I get you, bro.
I'm so excited. We have a six-yard box derby in the semifinal.
Six-yard classico, bro.
Six-yard classico.
There's two players that I need to apologize to. In my team.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is Donnarumma, who I've gone on here and slandered his name.
Yes.
Rightfully so, I thought he wasn't the best player, the best goalkeeper in the world over the past few years. But this year, especially from that second leg of Liverpool onwards, he's been one of the best keepers in the world, and he has saved us in the most high-pressure situations.
Yeah. Facts.
He pulls out incredible saves. Thinking of that Rashford shot, which ultimately comes to nothing because we'll get on to the shout outs. Ultimately, that save comes out to nothing because they actually score in the corner.
In the same play. Yeah.
Incredible save. The Tielemans header.
Yes.
Where he is.
Both of those are reaching.
Amazing. I thought that went in. I thought it was in.
The Marco Asensio one on one.
Yeah.
Where he gets a foot out.
Yeah.
Yep.
He has saved us, and he is that goalkeeper that can make a high-level save in a high-level situation that I was talking shit about 1 month and a half ago. Thank you, Donnarumma, for saving us. I'm on your train. Second player to forgive.
Only took years.
Who are you going to say? Oh.
Second player to forgive.
Wait, is he Spanish?
He's Spanish.
Okay.
He's the third midfielder. It's Fabian Ruiz.
He's getting a jersey in the new studio.
The jersey's coming for sure. I think this season he's completely transformed his game, especially in the second half of the season. 2025 onwards, he really is that team player that makes the team play so much better. Mm-hmm. He always finds the right pass in the second half of the season. He's always found the right pass. He's never really lost the ball as much as he has before, where I was kind of shitting on him.
It was frustrating.
It was very frustrating at some point under Pochettino sometimes. It was very, very frustrating. And at the beginning of Luis Enrique's tenure under PSG, it was kind of frustrating. But now it's different. He fits really well into that team. For the longest time, I thought Zaire Emery was supposed to be that third midfielder. Now I can say that Fabian Ruiz deserves that spot because he really glues well with João Neves and Vitinho.
Nice.
I apologize, Fabian Ruiz, for shitting on you for so long.
Although it was
more bit of a Xhaka narrative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like slightly?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Was that just an Antoine narrative or more of a PSG fan?
It was
fan
a PSG
narrative.
Fan narrative. Okay. Very shared. Even the Donnarumma one, it was a PSG
fan
narrative.
Oh, yeah. Donnarumma one for sure. Mm-hmm. Also, he showed Emi Martinez levels in this tie.
I've been saying for the longest time that Emi Martinez is so overrated. Yeah. And once again, my ball knowledge is proving
Emi Martinez's
right.
Second leg is good.
The first goal is crazy.
Okay, the first goal, yes, sorry.
But he's mistake
excluding
prone.
I'm sorry, yes. Completely forgot. Apart from the first
yeah.
goal. He makes
guys.
A good
he's
statement.
So mistake prone. He's so he mistake prone.
Yes, and we don't talk about it because of Villa, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
He's playing for like a Man City exactly. or like a bigger stage
and,
than we would know.
And you
about
know what, too?
More.
He's mistake prone. But how many times have you like? It's like gets through his hands, but he like reaches back and gets it on the line.
Yes,
that counts as a mistake too.
Yeah, it does.
He just makes mistake, up for yeah. it, but he does that all the time.
Yes.
Fuck Emmy, bro. God.
Hakimi Ballon d'Or.
Okay.
What. Both you your fucking. Said? I think Nuno and Hakimi need
Hakimi
to go
is
up.
Great. I mean, Hakimi is
they need to share that Ballon d'Or together. They need to go up on stage and hold that Ballon
right.
d'Or together, bro.
Hear me both out, Hakimi Ballon d'Or. Right?
I'm gonna be honest.
I am on the fucking train.
Watching Hakimi has been eye opening for me. Hey.
Give me a better right back in the world right now. You can't.
If Carvajal could finish top three, was it top three? I think top three.
Yeah.
In Ballon d'Or rating, then fuck.
If PSG
man.
Go on to win
it,
the Champions
yeah,
League,
you gotta win it.
And then maybe do well in the Club World Cup too, because we all know that that's gonna play a part in the Ballon d'Or voting. Obviously.
Don't say that.
Even
don't
though it's
say that.
But if that happens, if Hakimi is top two. I think Dembele would ultimately win it.
Scam a ninth Ballon d'Or for Messi.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Into my, bro.
Oh my God.
Please no.
Oh my. My God, I'll be so.
Then the
GOAT
debate's out. No, I'm
kidding. I think if PSG do win the Champions League and then do well in the Club World Cup, Dembele does end up winning it,
yeah.
which would be amazing. I would love to see that. But Hakimi this season has been the best right back in the world, bar none. Mm-hmm. Bar none. No question. I don't care. The way that he is so fast going forward, so fast going backward, insane. 20 goal and assist goal contributions this season.
It's ridiculous.
It's insane.
And he
it's
can
nuts.
Actually defend.
It's nuts. And he can actually defend.
Yeah.
But the way that he just flows so well with this team, he's not really conformed to a certain position. You see this guy at striker at times. You see this guy at left back. You see this guy on the other wing. Yep. It's insane. And the game that he brings is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The last time I seen a right back with such impact on a game, I cannot tell you. I cannot tell. Dani Alves, fuck.
Yeah.
True.
I'm not comparing him to Dani Alves.
No, but
just to be clear.
The craziest part about this tie for me was watching it with English commentators who had clearly not been watching PSG this year. I'm talking about Rio Ferdinand mostly. And the way, bro, they are serenading at the sight of watching PSG. I heard a moan. Sometimes, especially in the first leg. I don't know the main commentator on TNT or CBS, whoever it was, but like literally, like Doué would do his little like roulette, or like they put a couple passes together, yeah. or that little exchange before the Nuno Mendes goal. Mm-hmm. That's the sound they would make. Oh,
yeah, like the sequence before the Nuno Mendes goal. You mean
yes.
like when it starts from
in
behind?
Transition? Yes, and then in your own half. Yeah.
Also,
oh,
I get the vision.
Disgusting.
You get the vision.
I got the Neymar vision.
The Neymar vision,
like the way he plays.
Bro.
I understand.
Bro.
Like. I was trying to, like, from the little I've seen of him watching Liga, I've been, and like the couple times in the Champions League, I've been trying to, like, you know, shy away and not be too. No, he's like.
No, he's special.
It's the way he controls the ball is like.
The composure, like.
And I saw a lot of people after the second leg when he comes on saying that he had a poor game. I disagree. Maybe he didn't have the best attacking game.
I don't think so.
Played
either,
what, half an hour?
He played it for half an hour. He came on for Bakura.
And I noticed him.
After Villa had scored their third.
I thought that it shouldn't have been Bakura coming off. I thought it should have been Kvaratskhelia, who kind of had a ghost game. But Doué comes on, doesn't have the best attacking performance. Obviously, one or two dribbles in there that are successful, wins a few free kicks. But the defensive work that he provided, I hadn't seen from a winger in such a long time.
Mm.
In such a long time for PSG. There's a good amount of times, maybe 2-3 amount of times, where Villa have the ball on their left flank, and Doué just comes right back and just fights for the ball and gets it.
Yeah.
And gets it's night and day between Mbappe defending and now our attacking players actually defending. Especially Doué and Kvara. These guys are dogs. These guys will come back on defense. Luis Enrique's style of play is seriously engraved in their heads. Mm. Engraved in their heads. Because it's not just about being free-flowing going forward. It's about that defensive work and how everybody is involved when it comes to that defensive work. Due and Kvaratskhelia encapsulate that the best in term when it comes to attacking players.
Arsenal versus PSG. Who takes it, lads?
You know what I think is really in our favor?
Mm.
First of all, in the first leg, Thomas Partey is not playing.
Yeah, that's,
oh, that's true.
The fact that it's at the Emirates is even worse for you guys.
Yeah, you could say that.
I probably want to be home leg, second leg.
You want to be home leg, second leg. History has proven that it's the better fixture. When they do the draws, they draw the for who's home and away, first and second leg, because it has an importance on the outcome.
It definitely has an impact, for sure.
I think in the first leg, it's going to, like, Partey's going to be a very big miss for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's at the Emirates is going to be even more of a negative on your side. If he missed the game in Paris, I don't think it's as bad. But he's missing the game at Emirates, where you guys need to score goals, because obviously I think you might score one or two in Paris, but if there's one leg where you want to do good, where you want to like assure your dominance, it's at home.
I still think without Partey we can do a job. I'm going in with confidence. I'm nervous, but I think I have to believe now. You don't get to a semifinals of the Champions League and not believe.
I trust Arsenal's attack versus PSG more than I trust PSG's attack versus Arsenal's defense. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Pacho, we know, has had a fantastic year. Marquinhos is Marquinhos.
Sorry.
But still, like, the setup.
He was okay.
No.
Okay.
He's. Continue your point. I'll get on to Marquinhos later.
This is not a knock on them as a duo, but more your setup, how you'll be attacking and can allow like counters. Like, I see defensive frailties in your system where goals can come. I'm talking mostly about Morgan Rodgers' goal at the Parc des Princes. I thought that was like a very, like, you guys were split open, essentially. Right? 100%. Yeah. And Arsenal could fucking do that to you. You saw them do that yesterday. So I think it's literally just going to come down to you sitting in your low block again, you guys getting your chances. Can you finish your chances or not? You're going to get great chances too. Believe me, I think they're going to be more in transition than it is for you. And it's literally who can finish their chances. And I trust you guys a little bit more too.
I hope so.
I'm having a hard time envisioning how we can get past that low block.
I do too.
And we honestly, for a lot of the tie against Real Madrid, we didn't even low block.
No, you didn't.
We didn't. Like in the second leg, at the end of the game.
But your game mostly revolves around.
But the game plan now, especially with.
Yeah.
It's similar, but it's.
PSG's wing backs are going to be so fucking important in this tie.
Yeah.
Both going forward, they have to be the X factor in unlocking that Arsenal defense. And they have to be sufficient enough where they are not leaving Saka or Martinelli open.
Which is. Again, an underrated aspect of Martinelli's game, like Desiree Doué, he's so good at tracking back. Such a great defensive asset.
Mm. True. And exploding going forward.
It's going to be a battle.
There will be chances where Arsenal are on the break, and I will be very worried. I think if you convert those chances, I think you guys should win.
Yeah.
It's going to be a battle. And you said the pressure is, I think the pressure is even, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, both teams need this. Both teams have needed this for a while.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Both teams have never won it, and both teams are hungry for it.
Zero Champions Leagues.
So if there was like if there ever was a 50-50 split of like.
What are the actual odds?
I was going to mention this earlier, but Arsenal are now the favorites to win the UCL by the bookies and also like that Opta supercomputer. And they did 10,000 simulations. Arsenal won it 28% of the time.
Do you know who won it the least amount of times in accordance to those simulations?
You guys?
Barcelona.
Oh.
Barcelona are like the least favorite 21% to win the Champions League, which is insane.
It goes you, then Inter, then PSG, guys, then Barcelona.
Guys.
But bright side, though, for both of you,
yeah.
If you don't win it, if you lose in the semis, you're both keeping your head up high, and you're going, you know what? we'll be here next year.
We go again.
Arsenal, we had injuries this year. Hopefully, we'll be even better.
Yeah.
And we're going to make a bunch of signings in the summer.
Yeah.
PSG are like,
we're only up from here.
This is a young team.
Yeah, it's only
we're
going
to have five more at least tries at this.
Yeah.
You know? We're fine.
Yeah.
So both of you guys, no matter how you do in the semis, your big picture is much, much fucking brighter than that.
Yeah, that's right.
Obviously, you play to win the fucking Champions League, and that's what you want to do. But even if you don't, it's not like a situation where you don't know when you'll be back.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good way to put it.
I was kind of sighing when he mentioned Marquinhos. First 15 minutes of that game, don't get me wrong, class, everywhere.
Yeah.
Fucking a magnet to the
noticeable.
Ball. A magnet to the ball. From there on out, once we score the second goal
and the
complacency starts setting in, I'm just going to show you an example. Tell me why the fuck, in this situation, look at Marquinhos when the ball comes in for a cross, okay? Yeah. Tell me why he back heels it to try to clear it. What is that? What is that? Tell me.
That is quite bad.
What is that?
That is quite bad.
And the fact that we almost conceded off of that, there's so many situations in that game where, by the way, I'm not knocking his first 15 minutes. I thought they were great.
Yeah.
Right? But there's 75 more minutes to fucking play. Right? Good math?
Good math.
Good math. Okay. he's been clowning me on my math lately, too.
Nah, because, okay, what's, oh, what was it?
It was like we were calculating, like, budget.
What's 210 divided by 4?
No, we're not doing that.
Divided by 4?
No, what, 220 divided by 4? What is it?
Good question. So, anyways, I'm not knocking the first 15 minutes of his game. No.
What is it? What is it, Billy?
55.
There you go.
Okay. Good.
Said 64.
Did I? That's crazy.
That was decent math for me, eh?
That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
But the amount of times
you said 220
beyond those 15 minutes, the amount of times beyond those 15 minutes that where he either plays a pass into danger to like Vitinha, who is like kind of swarmed by Aston Villa players, or makes a poor clearance, or that back heel is like a prime example of it.
You need to be more
sure. He is at the crime scene of a lot of PSG exits in the Champions League. And I'm afraid that he might be at the crime scene of, if we exit this year, he might be at the crime scene again. He's like that one player in our team where obviously he's a PSG legend and obviously his legacy at the club is beyond exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
But next season, if we're looking at it from a footballing standpoint and from a how can we get even better next season, I think the position to target is Marquinhos.
Center back?
I think so. And it pains me to say it because the things that he has brought to this club.
Been there forever.
He's been there forever.
Yeah.
And he's been up through ups and downs. The ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves that captain armband. But I think there's a severe lack of quality in the big moments that needs to be outlined.
Super fair.
Valid. And that's that. Those little frailties is what makes me worried for Arsenal.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting for sure.
And we probably still have another pod to preview this. So I think we should go to...
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Well, it's in 2 weeks.
It's true. So are we going to... Are you guys going to ghost on the group chat during this game?
That's a good question. I haven't thought of my availability that day.
Because a week ago we were saying, let's watch the first leg together. Now you guys are backing out.
I don't want to.
No, like this...
Do you
I'll watch it with you.
What this can do.
I went to an Arsenal bar.
Yeah.
In a meaningless Arsenal. Game that didn't matter.
Of course, it always matters. It's pride.
Do you know what it would do to our friendship?
Yeah.
It would be very dangerous.
Yeah, I don't.
Very dangerous. In the heat of the moment, some words would be said.
I'm probably going to go to an Arsenal bar to watch it, probably.
Sure.
My cousin, we'll see.
That's valid, actually.
But
that's the place.
I'm down to watch with you, though.
That's the place you want to be, to be fair. Yeah,
this place you want to be to get smashed.
Like I said, I said this on the pod or on the group chat. Like genuinely, best of luck. Like,
yeah.
If it's not me, it would hurt. If it's not us, it would hurt. But would rather it be you.
Don't get wholesome on me, guys.
No, I agree, 100%. I think I'm rooting for you guys if you beat us.
Yeah, I agree. But we should go to the other two.
We should go to the other two.
Mainly,
we're an hour in.
Yeah.
Mainly.
The most interesting tie in the quarterfinals.
Inter Bayern.
Which I'm just like, I feel podcast standpoint.
There's definitely not as much to say.
And I feel bad because like I should have been.
Well, we were naturally locked in.
And it's like sometimes, you know, you got to take a backseat. Like the love for the game comes first. The love for my team comes first.
Not to say that there isn't stuff to talk about.
No, yeah.
In this Inter Bayern tie. Inter narrowly winning it 4-3. Although I have to say, even when Bayern were going for the winner at the end of this tie, I was never really feeling that it was in doubt for Inter.
Were you?
In the last
10 minutes of that game, I thought that Bayern could have snatched it.
Even after Dyer scored that header, I was like, I still think they got in the bag, honestly.
Over the two legs, it was dominant from Inter, regardless.
They actually created less XG, I saw.
Really?
Yes, they did.
But in terms of like controlling the game and pacing the game how
Bayern
they wanted
played
it to go.
Inter's game.
Yes.
100%. 100%. I want to give love to Lautaro Martinez.
I was going
to
say that.
One of the best strikers on the planet. And we've been knowing this. Going to be high in the Ballon d'Or rankings
once again. He could actually win the Ballon d'Or.
He could actually win the Ballon d'Or.
And remember the narrative that he was like shit? Do you guys remember that narrative? Because I certainly do.
Before 2022 World Cup?
Yes. Yeah. Before he like went on this, before he proved it. And now he's proving it. But there was a narrative when a lot of fans were not convinced by his game.
Yeah.
Couldn't finish, didn't really do the things that a striker should do properly, especially with Messi, blah, 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 blah.
How old is he now? He is...
Like, he's 20, 26?
27.
Okay.
27.
That's Mbappe's age.
He's a dog. He's a fucking dog. Mm-hmm. He is so good. And I love those stories where someone proves the doubters wrong. 100%. He's proving 100%. The doubters wrong.
You look at last season, the first 6 months of that season, I think he's the best player one of the best players in the world.
Facts.
He is insane. And then obviously the second half of the season isn't the best, and Inter kind of go crashing out of the Champions League. Mm-hmm. But after that, he has an impeccable Copa America. And this season, don't lie.
No, I know.
Top scorer in Copa America, probably the best player.
Canada, that's why.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. And then on the back of that, this season has an incredible season as well.
Yeah.
Lautaro Martinez is now just one goal off the record for most goals scored by an Inter player in a single UCL campaign.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The top three is him, Samuel Eto'o, and Hernan Crespo. That is elite company.
Are those guys good? You tell me. Are they good players?
Yeah. They fucking are.
I think they're pretty decent.
Again, there should be that. I was talking last week, the before new format and after new format kind of stats. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, he has 8 goals this season. But
Let the narrative slide.
Of course.
Let the narrative slide.
There's an asterisk there. I think Lautaro Martinez now is, he's an Inter Milan legend. Straight up.
Wow.
I think he is. I think the things that he has provided for this club, he's a captain now.
Mm-hmm.
He's on kind of that, I'm not going to compare it to Zanetti in terms of importance, but he's on that trajectory.
He's their top scorer in Champions League history.
Yeah.
He locked that up in January.
That's crazy.
Yeah, when you think of all the legends that have played for Inter Milan, all the fantastic strikers, you think of Crespo, you think of Samuel Eto'o, you think of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, you think of all these fantastic names, R9 Ronaldo, and Lautaro Martinez has more goals in the Champions League.
Low-key bigger legend than Zlatan at Inter.
Yeah,
that's fair.
That stuff.
That's fair.
That stuff. Okay. I'm just saying, like, in terms of like legacy players that have worn the Inter shirt.
That's
that have played for the Nerazzurri. Nerazzurri?
Is it?
The Nerazzurri?
Mm.
Yeah.
Shout out Çalhanoğlu, man.
Yeah. My shout boy. Out Çalhanoğlu.
Definitely not underrated.
Shout out Mkhitaryan.
Wow. Definitely not underrated.
All these guys that we thought were.
Could have said the whole Serie A. Any Serie A player we could have put in the underrated.
Shout out the entire team. Shout out Bastoni. Shout out Barella.
Yeah.
Does he come off injured that game? I remember the.
Don't know.
He was injured for quite
a bit. Big Arnautovic is on this team, eh?
I think he got a yellow card for chirping on the bench.
Oh, he doesn't come off injured. Okay. Yeah, no.
That's actually crazy. Big Arnautovic, eh?
Big Arnautovic could be a Champions League winner,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, same with Darmian.
Same with Matteo Darmian, who almost scored, actually.
Yeah.
Also, I do want to say before we moved on from PSG, but shout out Rashford. Because genuinely...
Lads, what does he have against us?
Bro,
seriously.
No, but he actually looks like... That's funny as fuck. You're right. He actually looks like... In those two legs, he looks like normal Rashford. Like normal
more
scary
the second leg. More the second leg. The first leg,
he kind of quiet.
Yeah.
But
in the second leg, yeah.
Bro, we heard the Europa League anthem, man. Heard the Europa League anthem and decided,
I just love United players doing better at other teams.
I mean, it's everywhere now. Wow. How many ex-United players that have gone loaned out to another club have balled against PSG? Yeah. Sancho last year, Rashford this year. We can never catch a break.
Yeah.
For real, man.
But I do want to give flowers to Bayern, who amidst all their injuries this year and their new coach, I think, have put up a fair fight against
Inter. Agreed.
Yeah. Not many people, including myself, were tipping them to even get to the stage of the competition. I thought for sure, in terms of quality, Bayer Leverkusen, we're gonna beat them.
Yeah.
I thought their tactics were better for a long time this season. I thought Bayern didn't really have, I don't want to say tacticless, but I don't want to say they were tacticalist, but didn't really have like an identity around their game. It was kind of just feed Kane, let Olise do his thing.
Yeah.
Freaking Miguel,
but towards the second half of the season,
I still really think that this system is all wrong. If they had like a better coach, they could do amazing things with this group of players.
Obviously, I'm not sold on Company either.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm not sold on Company.
But like, they are in a really weird spot. Like, they're arguably not even the best team in the Bundesliga, and I don't think they're anywhere near UCL aspirations. So for Bayern standards, that's like purgatory, bro.
Well, this season they are the best team.
They're gonna win the Bundesliga.
They're gonna win.
I know they're gonna win the Bundesliga, but I'm saying like, do they have like, are they like actually like, it's a weird
the best playing team?
Probably not.
Like pound for pound, like you think of the best.
They've had some really poor performances this season.
Yes,
like absolutely. Some performances that don't make you think of them as a title winning 100%. Team.
Yes. Absolutely. They almost lost against Celtic.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Yes.
So by that valuation, totally understand what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
But one thing with Bayern is that they always, whenever they get eliminated, they always get eliminated with their weapons in hand. They always put down, they always put like, they always fight. They
That's
always
a good
fight.
Way to put it, actually.
They never, the last time I remember Bayern getting eliminated where they didn't really have a good performance, maybe against Villarreal when Unai Emery reached the semifinal.
Mm.
But even then, it was like a late goal, I remember, from Villarreal. Against PSG in 2021, they put up a big fight after losing the first leg. Last year against Real Madrid, they put up a big fight, almost knocked them out of the semifinals to reach the finals. But this is a team that you cannot write off their Champions League legacy. Uh-oh. In Europe, these guys will always be there, and they will always put up a fight. If your team is playing against Bayern and on paper are miles better than Bayern, you know that it won't be an easy game.
Facts.
And I'm going to be honest that we can go to the other tie, but they kind of don't need this Champions League. Like, they don't. Like, from a footballing and club standpoint, I get it when their last one was 21?
2020.
It's 5 years ago, but they have
it. You'd like to see Kane win it.
No, I want Kane to win the league. I actually do want him to get a title.
Yeah, and he will.
And he will. I want him to get his trophy. But at the end of the day, like, it's not this. The thing around Bayern hasn't been this, oh my God, if we're not in it every 3 years, like, it's over. Like, we need to. They're a big team, they always are, but they're never, like, they're not always favorites to win it. Mm-hmm. So I think the fact that, it's not like it's a transition year, but the fact that it hasn't all come together this season doesn't.
It kind of is a transition year, I want to say.
That's what I mean.
It's a new coach, a new system, new everything.
It's not the end of the world that they didn't win it this season. It's not the sky is falling. It's not Company out, in my opinion. Next season, if it's still the same, they make it to the quarters again, but don't make any big steps, then sure, then we can talk. But I don't think it's the sky is falling for Bayern right now.
Yeah, I don't think Bayern. I mean, I don't really know what the Bayern fan sentiment is right now.
Yeah, I could actually have a Bayern fan. I could ask you
that. But no, I don't think it's the end of the world.
Agreed.
Yeah. Not much else to say about this.
We can go to your guys' favorite team in La Liga.
They are.
I know they are.
They absolutely
are. I know they are.
Why do you know that?
I just know.
Because we glaze them?
Is that you guys love to glaze
Barcelona.
We
give credit where it's due.
We give credit where credit is due, and we will not give credit to this Barcelona team in the second leg at all.
I also do like Real Madrid a little bit more than Barcelona.
Really?
Because growing
up, that's Ronaldo. Glory hunting at its
it's glory hunting.
Not glory hunting. I felt
Papa Bencourt vibes.
No. I felt apathetic.
Your favorite team in Spain is the best team of all time, and your favorite team in England is the best English team of all time.
Yeah.
What does that say? I'm not saying, bro. I don't really like
Liverpool. Might be coming for that title soon. Yeah.
I'm not. I don't really like Real Madrid, bro. I'm just saying.
What's your favorite team in Italy?
I'm not cheering. I'm not cheering for Real Madrid.
Juventus, perhaps.
Juventus.
What about
Portugal?
What about Portugal? Benfica?
Oh!
What about in France?
Dare I say PSG?
I just don't have a team.
And Germany?
Dortmund.
Interesting.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm not a fan of either team. Like, if Real Madrid and Barcelona are playing each other, I'm not cheering for Real Madrid. I'm hoping for a good football match from a neutral's point of view.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like,
you want Yamal to score.
Yeah.
It's from a neutral point of view.
You guys glaze the fuck out of him so much. It's okay though.
Deservedly so.
He's class.
I'm cool. Appreciating greatness. All right.
Yeah.
And I have much enjoyed watching Barca this year than Real Madrid.
Fair.
100%.
Fair.
I was about to say, before you guys rudely interrupted me with some slander, I back Inter to beat Barcelona in the semifinals.
Yep. What? Really?
I do.
Wow.
I
do. You do back or I you do. Backed?
No, he's backing. No,
I'm backing. I'm yeah. backing so Inter. I'm backing Inter.
Me and Nap since the start, by the way. Me and Nap since the start.
I have recently hopped on the Inter train. You know what? Since the start. You know what? Hey, you know what? We should get Naps in on an episode.
We should. We maybe absolutely
next week,
should.
Next week, perhaps.
Next week's.
I would like some deeper analysis on Italian 100%. Football.
100%. Sure. Yeah. I certainly ain't watching.
We have not. We have also not heard from him since Malta got fired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only on text a couple times, but.
Well, what you got against Naps, bro?
I have nothing against Naps. I'm talking about the Mata got fired.
Oh, okay.
We're going to spend a segment okay. on that?
Yeah, like
come on. Come on.
Shout out.
We got a product to put out here. Like, come on. Like, it's fine.
This Champions League game going on. This guy wants to talk about UVA.
But sure, he can come on.
He knows a lot about Inter, too.
I never said anything.
He's a very knowledgeable.
I just said the Mata.
He's very knowledgeable.
He's
going to
put his dick
football.
On the table and tell you exactly why Inter is going
to
beat Barca.
That's actually saying. That is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I love that you looked at me. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that right there was good.
Casual.
Did you hear the same thing I did?
Like, I did though. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It is the same. But sorry.
Anyway, casual take on the semifinal for me.
Yeah,
is I think Barca is going to struggle to San Siro, and I think that Inter's defense is going to really nullify Barcelona.
Is Mr. Bastoni? Is he like number one in the world?
Yes.
Is that what we're saying?
Yes. Yes.
Best center back in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
I think you have to say that.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Verge.
I don't think
Saliba.
I think no. There's a stat.
Not Gabriel.
I don't think he's been dribbled past more than twice in the entire Champions League campaign.
It's gross.
I think that's the stat I saw. Incredible.
It's because he's in the midfield when they get.
That's a good.
He's not even there. He's not even there.
Hey, Mbappe hasn't been dribbled past once either. Folks. What was I gonna say? This Inter team, I think, is the hardest possible team for Barcelona. The way that they are built, the way that they are structured, it is going to be extremely tough for Barcelona. Mm. Anyone that thinks Barcelona is going to cruise past this Inter team is a fool.
Mm.
Straight up.
Mm.
And hasn't watched Italian
Put
football.
Put your dick on the table and say it, bro.
And Inter play this season. They haven't watched it. Wow. Fuck you.
No, I was recreating. Like, if it was mine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
These ties are going to be great. Like, I'm so excited to watch. And now it'll be on different days, right? So we can watch.
Yeah.
I just hold ours as second because
I think ours on the second week is on the Wednesday. So we're good.
Oh, on the
so we'll know who is in the final when we play our second leg.
Fuck. I'm not watching. I actually might not watch, guys. I can't do it.
You know, my dad once did that. Like, it was. This is crazy. Like, I do not condone anyone do this. In the World Cup final in 2018, he couldn't take it. He went upstairs.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I know those ones, though.
I had that before, yeah.
You know what's crazy? Like in the penalty shootout against fucking who do we play in the round of 16 last year in the Champions League? Some Portuguese team, Porto.
So you played Porto.
Porto. I couldn't watch it. Like I listened to it, but I couldn't.
Was it the penalties? It was when I went to penalties.
Yeah,
yeah.
I had that when I was 10, in the 2014 World Cup, when
horrible Portugal World Cup.
When Portugal were losing to the US.
Yeah.
Mm.
And we had already lost 4-0 to Germany. And if we had lost that game, like, it was over. Like, we thankfully got the draw, which made it still pretty tough.
Yeah.
I think we beat Cameroon the next game, but still didn't go through. But, yeah, that was...
Yeah.
10-year-old Julian could not take it.
Guys, I think I would sacrifice the Leafs getting swept in round one in a series that they should win, that they're favored to win.
You just said that you'd rather a Leafs
What's the
win.
Percentage odds there
of they're,
making an extra 200?
The Leafs are minus, like, 115 or 120.
Ah. That's almost pick them, man.
I would sacrifice the Leafs.
I don't get that because we clinched the Atlanta Division.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So does that mean we're first seed in our division?
Yeah.
That should mean that we're playing the worst team in
the
division.
We're playing the second worst team. It's this. I'm not explaining the seedings on the. I can.
I know there's like a wild card. Montreal just made it in the.
But yeah.
But like.
So technically, we're the second best team in the East. So we play the second.
We're playing the second worst.
No. Yeah. The second worst.
Out of how many?
Eight? What? Two? I'll explain to you after. But we're playing Ottawa.
This is hockey talk right now.
I know. The point being, we're playing Ottawa. We should win, but it's scary.
So just because of hockey is just such a close game that even when it's like a first,
it's just the Atlantic Division. It's just the Eastern Division. It's crazy. It's always really competitive.
I see.
You're saying?
I would sacrifice a sweep in a series that we should win if Arsenal win the Champions
League. Okay.
I would make that trade off in a heartbeat. That's how you know when I say I want one more. I do because I can tell, but it's not. It's 199. Okay. It's 199.9, honestly.
Okay. But Dortmund Barca?
There's a slimmer of hope there for Dortmund for a little bit. Grassi got his hat trick. They went 2-0 up at one point. The fans were really getting riled up. You're like, oh my goodness. And then
Barca, I feel bad when, like,
it's kind
of
over.
Players put a performance like that and they get the man of the match and they just fucking lost. Yeah. Sucks. Yeah, genuinely, bro.
Same thing with Dembele yesterday. Dembele, you saw that video?
That's different, though. Because they went through.
Well, he went through, but yeah.
Did you see the picture?
I did, yeah.
He looks even more mad than Guirassy.
No, I know. But
there's
I don't feel bad for Dembele.
There's a video of Dembele leaving the pitch.
Yeah,
and the guy that, is like waving him away. Yeah. But that's mentality, bro. That's
not fair. But I don't feel bad for Dembele. I feel bad for Guirassy.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I think the highest scoring African of all time in the Champions League. And he's had one season.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is that actually a stat?
Over Didier Drogba.
The highest scoring African of all time.
Either the highest scoring...
Over Drogba, over Eto'o?
Like in a season, probably.
Oh, in a season.
Probably in a season.
I was going to say...
Again, I do have to come back.
Fuck's sake.
Before new format, after new format.
You're such a little poo-poo.
I don't care. No, you're not going to take away from what greats have accomplished before in the old format just because this format...
And when somebody passes Ronaldo's record, 13 goals. I will be on that train.
He has 13. And Ronaldo's record is... 760?
Yes. Salah is the best with 45 goals in the Champions League. I don't think Guirassy is quite there.
Yeah, definitely not.
Oh, I think in a season. What's Ronaldo's
16, 17?
Oh, in a season? Yeah. I think it's 17.
Guys, that's actually crazy.
Yeah,
it's insane.
What in a player, man. Almost like he's the second best player of all time.
And almost all those goals come in like actual big games, like quarterfinals, semifinals, finals. Yeah.
None of this like group stage shit. Extra two games.
For real. Unbelievable.
I'm kidding.
The biggest thing that gave hope to Dortmund was Pedri not playing. And Barcelona, with and without Pedri, it's night and day.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know he wasn't playing.
It's really, really...
Hurt?
No, just benched. Mm. I think Flick and Barca kind of also knew that they were into the semifinal, which kind of this week, if this week proved anything, is that no tie is done after the first leg. But... Yeah, they missed Pedri a lot. And another player that they missed a lot and that is actually injured is Balde. They played Gerard Martin instead of him. Mm. And you know how Barca like to play their offside traps and they always catch everyone offside? There was a severe issue with Gerard Martin's alignment and chemistry
like a
with
disconnect?
The back line. Yeah. Mm. And that could be very worrying against Inter, who like to play on the counter and who like to... Like, fair if me. Dumfries, like... And DiMarco just bomb up and Gerard Martin isn't aligned well.
Could work.
It could definitely work. I don't know when Balde's back, but it seems to be like it's going to be a big miss for them.
Yeah. Mm. Guys, I'm gonna be honest, like Dortmund had no business being in the semifinals.
Yeah, they're having an awful season.
Like,
but it's
almost, kudos to them.
100%. It's almost like that. It's almost like Bayern. Their European legacy is great.
Yeah.
You can't write it off.
Agreed. They're always in there. Always in there. But like you look at the squad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you look at the lineup that they put up in the second leg. Of course, they won the game, but like they have no business being in
100%. 100%. The yellow wall is definitely a big catalyst in their
absolutely, world. And you can't take that away from them. And that's the way it is. But yeah,
yeah, man.
You know this guy,
Julian Duranville, of course.
Julian Duranville, FM legend.
Yep.
Career mode legend, perhaps.
Julian who?
Duranville.
Duranville, Somerville, and Duran.
This guy came on against Barcelona and started toying.
Yeah.
Toying with Gerard Martin.
Let me see. Julian Duranville.
Does he... I pulled out the log, the paper, and I looked at all the players in Leonard's Little Boys. There was a gap missing there.
I love how he's 18.
I wrote his name. And I went up to him and I was like, sir,
what the fuck?
You know how... You think of like sometimes a young player and he's like 21. It's like, oh, he's young, but he's like, but like 18, and you're like, yeah, that's
should
a lot
have
of
that a little differently.
Because what the fuck was that?
No, but
wait till he finds Yamal's age.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like he has so much room to grow.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So much room to grow. Jesus, man.
Thanks, Blake.
No, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, Duranville, a part of Leonard's Little Boys.
There you go.
Signed, sealed.
Shout out to the NSL as well. started up yesterday.
Yeah.
Genuine shout out. That's cool. Big, really cool. Big shout out.
I didn't know very cool. The crowds were packing like that.
I know.
Were they? Was it locked?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was locked.
Amazing. Yeah. That's like genuinely awesome.
The production they have too.
And I'm going to
have great production.
I'm going to be honest. Like, this is not the women's sport podcast, but genuinely the turn it's taking for throughout all sports is like fantastic. 100%. Like people like my dad is like a Paige Beckers truther or like a Caitlin Clark truther. Like I just love that. Like it's just
the amount of attention that the WNBA draft
it's,
got too.
It's fantastic, incredible. Bro. It's amazing.
I think Paige Beckers looks like Serena. Do you see it?
Not kind of, but
a little
not really.
Bit.
I see it a little bit like in
a tiny bit.
Like a
tiny bit, yeah.
Just a smidge.
Yeah.
She's a baddie though, can't lie.
Paige Beckers.
Yeah.
Baller.
And a baller.
Yes.
And a baller.
Did you see that someone tweeted out, remember this name, Paige Beckers. She was in sixth grade.
Damn. That's amazing.
She tweeted that out saying, like, think Diana Taurasi.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Are y'all familiar with Sedona?
You Sedona Prince?
Yeah. I saw fuck that. Her.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Yeah. I can explain after. She's just a shitty person.
Who is? Don't tell me it's a wrestler.
No. It's a. No.
Okay.
It's a women's basketball player. She didn't get drafted, thank God. She's like just a terrible person. But WrestleMania weekend.
Oh my God.
Leafs playoff weekend.
More importantly,
we have to. I think we should end off where we're almost. It's one of the longer podcasts, but it deserved to be. But I think we should end off with
my team in shambles.
Just quickly,
And then okay, so
you guys just suck so much.
Day of recording, it is 2.5 hours until United kick off with Leon, and whatever happens today, it will probably erase the significance of what happened on Sunday when we got smashed 4-1 at Newcastle. But I still want to talk about it. Not that it is of utmost importance, because at the end of the day, it is in the Premier League and it doesn't change the outlook whatsoever on this Premier League season for United. Speak up if you disagree. Okay. But what are you mouthing, bro?
We could also
talk about last week's leg against Leon, because we did not.
Onana didn't make a save.
We did not touch on that. Onana did not make a blood clot save.
Blood clot save.
Look, we were decent in the first half against Newcastle. I watched it back. Right before we started recording.
Shut up.
I watched.
You lost 4-1.
No, we looked decent in the first half. We had some decent moments. It was 1-1 going into halftime. But then second half, we decent fucking FC. Capitulated, bro.
Decent FC.
Me and moments Blake were working FC. At the time.
Good moments FC.
But good I just players go on loan FC. Broken, man.
Good players will go on loan. And
poor Julian. Man. He's about to talk about a C. We're just shitting on him. I'm so sorry.
Bayinder looked horrendous. You've seen the mistake?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it was bad. It was bad.
It was, you could say bad. It's Onana-esque.
Yeah, it's very Onana-esque. Yes.
Onana.
Very Onana-esque.
Bye,
Onana is going to play tonight.
Yes!
And whatever happens, the situation is almost looking unsavable. Just like his performance.
Wait.
Big Lyon win tonight.
Bingo card is still on.
Huh?
Bingo card is still on.
Bingo card is still on for Lyon.
Yeah.
Lyon win the Europa League.
Yeah, well, it is still on.
That's kind of what I was talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Ryan Cherki, big performance.
Still maintain that I think United will go through. It's at Old Trafford tonight, and I think the players will lock in just enough to get over the line.
Oh my God. Like, if Onana makes another mistake tonight, like, I'm just begging.
I can
for
see
him.
It happening. Bro. I can see it happening.
It's all I want.
You know what? I'm apathetic. Whatever fucking happens, if Lyon beat us, yeah, I'll be mad for a little bit, but it is what it fucking is.
I'm a Lyon fan tonight.
Like, I would rather
for French football this year could be generational.
I would almost rather Lyon win, but Onana makes a mistake still.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, you want United to win?
You mean United wins, but Onana makes a mistake?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. Like, I'd almost rather that happen than they lose.
Okay, so you're a fucking dickhead.
Yeah, it's just hilarious, bro. He's
no,
just
after he opens his mouth and does that in the first, I know. Like, I want that to happen too.
I know. I'm just telling you, like, not to say that mental health doesn't matter, but if he pulls a mental health card, like I don't know, man. Like, I just,
my mental health would be shocked too if that happened.
Like, all of ours would be. Let's be honest.
And like, I can see it happening. And maybe it's another small one situation. Like, I don't know. Maybe I should just stop talking.
Because look, you deal. You see this a lot with UFC fighters. You have to think that you're the best to be at a top level, mm-hmm. to be Manchester United keeper, to have the confidence to be Manchester United keeper. Mm-hmm. Just like you have to be borderline delusional to make it into the top of the rankings in the UFC. You have to think genuinely, even if nobody else does, that you are the best in your position, in your weight class, whatever it may be. Onana genuinely thinks that. I'll tell you that for a fact. Because he has to think that. Mm. Just like the way Kyle Walker currently thinks that he's the best right back in the world. Just like all these players have these delusions. Why? Because they're the best, whatever. Same reason Ronaldo still thinks he should be starting for Portugal. Okay. Delusion. But that's what it is. When that delusion breaks, when there's nothing else, no other narrative to go through besides, I might not be as good as I say I am, that's a legit existential fucking crisis. Mm. And when you actually think about it, like this goes for the UFC, you have to be thinking about, like there's 15, 30 guys thinking that they are the best in the world. There's only one that can actually be. There is however many keepers that have to be thinking that they're the best in the world, but there can only be one, right? The rest will have to face the facts one day that they are not actually as good as they think they are. Onana is facing that right now. And like,
should have faced it much sooner.
Say what you fucking want, man, but like, that's tough to go through.
Yeah.
So he did talk like a fucking idiot before the game, but that just might be the way that he has to let himself know that he is actually, to actually right. get himself in the headspace.
But then back it up. Back it up.
Then don't be shit.
Like, of course.
But he might just be shit, guys.
He might just be shit.
Yeah.
He might just
yeah.
be shit.
Yeah.
And you know what? I would be having, maybe I wouldn't project it as much, but if I was the best keeper on a side that made it all the way to the UCL final, yeah. and if United splashed all that cash on me, then I would be having a little bit of that delusion as well.
Imagine they beat City, keeper. Man.
If they got rid of David De Gea to bring me in, then I would be
true.
I'd be doing that.
True.
Let's talk about that decision too. We were talking a little bit about about somebody at FanFirst about that decision to let David De Gea go to bring in Onana. I think we're looking at De Gea a little bit rose tinted glasses. I do think he had to go after Ten Hag's first year, but the decision to bring in Onana is looking like a worse and worse decision by the day. Mm. But does, with all of United's issues, does he go this summer?
I think you need. He has to, but he won't. You need a new keeper next season.
But I don't want to spend another 50 mil to
replace. Doesn't matter.
Then could that be 100 mil on keepers in 2 years?
With regular stinkers and mediocrity. Yeah.
Also, like, I just don't care. I don't care. Like, if you guys, you're going to be shit. There's so many more problems at your team that, like, at the end of the day, I kind of understand what you're saying. It's not the goalkeeper. It's the goalkeeper one is magnified in tournaments like this. But it's not like it's always the goalkeeper. There's a lot more issues to this team. Yeah. So you're kind of right. When I always shit on him and you tell me it's not just him, there's bigger issues.
Yeah,
you're kind of right. It's not, it is a big issue, but it's not the one that you probably need to address first thing in the offseason.
Onana himself has maybe led to us conceding 5 to 8 more goals than we should, purely it's, off of his mistakes.
It's probably more than that. It's probably like
maybe
12 or 15.
Okay.
That's crazy.
But I would say because of our poor system under both managers, our defensive frailties, and our horrendous setup, that has led to 25, 30 more goals that we should be conceding.
Fair.
We still concede way more than any other team, or way more than we should be conceding. Onana adds a couple more. He's like the cherry on top. But
yeah,
if we bring in a world-class keeper, giving like 2015 David De Gea level performances, but we still have a shit team in front of him, was it really the right decision to spend that money on replacing Onana? Was it really the right decision then? If he says he wants to go and he has to go, whatever. Like, I don't want to spend big on it to bring in a keeper. Like, I need somebody there that can be just be a keeper, whatever. I'm way more concerned about the players in front of Onana. I'm way more concerned about the fucking striker up top because Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like last week against Leon, the rest of the team I was actually okay with, but it was the striker at top and the keeper at the bottom that just fucking, oh my God.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was a shit sandwich.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Quickly, unless you have anything else to say, but quickly, give me a score prediction.
For today?
Yeah.
I think we win 2-1.
I'd take that with an Onana mistake. Onana mistake and they win 2-1.
I think Leo win 2-1.
Okay. I just hope Onana fucks up.
Yeah.
Simple as.
Fair.
Really quickly, we're not doing an FPL roundup this week because it's insignificant. However,
I don't think we should.
We've been going on way too long. Just want to point out a performance of the manager of the season this season. Macaroni and Cheese did captain Jacob Murphy for 19 points this season. And not many people.
Did you win the week?
Same.
Did you win?
No, you did because you bench boosted, but I didn't.
I had the worst bench boost in the history of bench boosts. I have.
And we're getting to an FPL roundup, apparently.
I maybe had 4 points on my bench boost.
That's actually horrendous.
Maybe three.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Minus one on there, too.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
Yeah. Foden, zero minutes.
He sucks.
All right.
He's good when he fucking plays. Anyways. Everybody, I think that'll do it. Oh, yeah, one last thing about United. Even worse than the Onana situation is that I'm pissed that Xerxes is injured for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah.
No. Genuinely, like, he's been our brightest spark.
100%.
That's
in attack lately. Which is saying something. I know you're coming up with some snarky comment, whatever, but...
I kind of understand why. It sucks, man. I kind of understand why he hates my team. Yeah. And I also understand why Sam doesn't like watching games with me. I'm kind of a dick.
Oh, you are a pretentious little fucking douchebag when I'm watching sports with you. Respectfully. But I still love you.
Holy shit.
You are my pretentious little douchebag.
Yes!
Okay. That's what we wanted. All right.
I love you, Blake.
I love you too.
I love you too, Antoine.
I love you too, Antoine. You didn't say it.
I'm excited for the summer, guys.
Same, bro.
Keep episodes going, everything.
Yeah, man.
Big announcement coming soon. I know we kind of teased it last week, but...
Yeah.
You kind of spoiled it in the episode.
It's okay.
Did you?
It's fine.
It's okay.
If people get this far...
I didn't catch that.
If they get this far, they can have it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, everybody, this has been another episode of the 6 Yard Box Podcast. 91 episodes down, 9 more to go until the big 100.
Big hundo P.
Yeah. We're throwing a party, man.
We got to do something special.
We got to do something special.
We have to think about it, though.
We have to, yeah.
We say that, it would just be like a Nando's run.
We'll figure it out.
It'll be a nice little Nando's run, that's it.
Yeah.
With that being said, everybody, thank you so much for listening. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to like this video, subscribe, comment your thoughts. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, give us a big 5-star rating. Let us know how big of a fraud Real Madrid are.
And... who's winning the Champions League this year?
And of course, who's winning the Champions League? Of course, I've been joined once again by the lovely Blake, the lovely Antoine, and you've been listening to the 6 Yard Box Podcast, and we will see you all very soon.
We out.
See ya.